Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Come on in, find a seat. There we go. Announcements. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Everyone that was involved yesterday making the grounds beautiful, they are beautiful. It was really great. I hear it had a really great turnout. Thank you all so much. And it just looks great. We do have some annuals left to plant if you're interested in that. And, you know, who are they seeing for that? Are they seeing you? Just sign up on the board. And that sign's still up. Well, speaking of signing up on the board, the Lug Nuts game for July, we need to start thinking about that because the deadline to get the tickets is the 13th of June. So if you're going to be going to the Lug Nuts game in July, then let's get that signed up and the tickets taken care of because the deadline is June 13th, which is right around the corner. Also, the picnic next week, next Sunday already, end of the year picnic. Bring a dish to pass and table service. Hot dogs and drinks will be provided. It's going to be a lot of fun. Next Sunday is Music Recognition Sunday, Sunday School Recognition Sunday, and end of the year picnic. And as you can tell, this is Whale Sunday. This Whale Sunday. This should be good. The flowers were given by Ruth in memory of Glenn's birthday, which is May 16th. I had other birthdays in here, so I got some notes on my notes. Roger! Roger's having a birthday on the 18th. Betty Buck is having a birthday on the 20th. Might want to send her a card. Everything else you can read about, I believe. We have Prudential Council meeting this afternoon. The final Congregational Heritage class is after church. And, got that one already done. Okay, any other announcements that I missed? It is wonderful to have you all here. We got some visitors with us this morning and some people we haven't seen for a while. Welcome back, Linda. Nice to have you here. Great to have you all here. Even the ones who are just old fixtures around the church, you're always here. It is great to have you here, too. Let's enter into worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. Lead me to the rock, that is higher than I.
Let me dwell in your tent forever.
Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve me. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. Our opening hymn, number 251. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you have called me to run the race toward the goal of winning the eternal prize. I know I fall short of your standards. With a repentant heart, I ask for the forgiveness that you extend to me through the blood of your Son. Thank you for your forgiveness and for continuing your work of sanctification in me. Through Christ I pray. Amen. Our first reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. May God lend his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
while we're going to... We got one. Okay. You're going to have to use your imagination this morning. We're going to play with your minds a little bit. This is a whale. This white sheet is a beautiful blue sea, and then it changes magically into a sandy beach. We have our storytellers. We have Jonah. And where's our whale? She's the whale. She's an important part. And everybody knows the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he refused. So he thought he better get out of town. So he got on a ship that was going the opposite way from Nineveh. And this is the gist of the story. So if you characters would get in position... You people that weren't here for this might want to sit in the front row because you might get wet. You guys get together. Okay. Are you ready, storytellers? Yeah, you're singing.
Okay.
Jonah, are you ready?
Yep.
Whale. Whoops, just a minute. Whale's got a problem. Her teeth are in the way. Whale, are you ready? Go for it.
Second chance. So God gave him a second chance, and the whale spit Jonah out.
And the whale spit Jonah out.
Jonah.
Where are you, Jonah?
He's coming. He's partially digested.
That was great. That was great. Now, it's going to be a while before you forget the story of Jonah. That whale, it's harder to move than you think. I helped move that thing up here. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. When we're talking about giving and receiving, giving offerings, giving unto the Lord, sometimes we forget. It's not just money. God's not just looking to get our money. He is looking to get us. That's what he's looking for. For us to give, that heart of Christ that resides in us, the Spirit of God in us, reaching out Sunday morning in the offering time, which is now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as we have opportunity to reach out and touch and help other people. So this morning we're receiving gifts. And there's a note in here about your change. I missed that one. Throw your change in there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That goes into a special fund that takes out certain, that we spend for certain things. Giving unto God. Today it's our money. Tomorrow it's helping people. It's giving love. It's letting the Christ who lives in us shine through us all the time. That way Jesus is glorified in us, we are glorified in him, and other people get to see a glimpse of who Jesus really is. So ushers, if you'll come, do we not have... The plates are in the back, I believe. Just, when they find the offering plates, I invite you to worship God with your giving.
Checking the whale, Caesar.
Checking the whale.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you a little bit of what you give to us. You bless us, you help us, you take care of us. We are so thankful. Bless this offering and multiply it back to everyone who has joyfully worshipped you with their giving this morning. Multiply it so every need of the church will be met, and there will be an abundance left over to spread your word throughout our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I don't know about you. I'm glad I showed up today. This has been good. Oh, it has been a good morning so far. Well, you know, the best may have already have happened. We don't know yet. Ruth chapter 4. Personally, I've really enjoyed this Ruth series. I just really have. And we got this week and next week, we're going to wrap things up. And we got a couple of weeks of special stuff for you. So, Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1. After Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by, so he said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 of the men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who came back from the land of Moab, has to sell a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. And if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one between you and me to redeem it. I am after you." And he said, "I'll redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself because it would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land to confirm a matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another. This was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witness today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birth. You are witness today." And all the people in the court and the elders said, "We are witness. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." Now, if you remember, last week, we left with Ruth offering herself to marriage in Boaz, if you will spread out your cover over me, offering this to him. And he said, "You know, you're an honorable woman. I'll do whatever you want. However, there's a closer relative than I." In Israel, if someone died or they became poor, they had to sell their land or whatever, a close relative, a kinsman redeemer, could purchase them back, purchase the land back, buy them back out of slavery if they had to sell themselves into slavery, whatever. A close redeemer could do this. Boaz was Naomi's close redeemer. And Naomi, once she got out of her depression, thought of this really cool plan to get Boaz to redeem them from their poverty. Now, Boaz has been taking care of them for months, sort of behind the scenes taking care of them. Ruth, after she committed to Naomi way back in the land of Moab a few months ago, said, "We're in this thing together. Where you go, I'm going. Your God's going to be my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. We are in this thing together." I mean, they both have suffered great loss up to that point. They've been outside of the umbrella of the blessing of God in Moab, and they came back to Bethlehem,
where God was blessing his people. And Ruth, good to her word, which made her an honorable woman, good to her word, went out every day gleaning the fields and just happened to fall into the field of Boaz. And so for several months now, she has been following Boaz's servants, gleaning. Boaz has been making sure that there's been enough left behind to take care of her, to take care of Naomi. Who knows what else he's been doing kind of behind the scenes. And he is a kinsman redeemer. But he's not the closest kinsman redeemer. And so he said to her last week, he said, I'll take care of this, but tomorrow you're going to be taken care of. Somebody's buying you back. That's where we left it last week. So Boaz, in the morning, comes to the gate where they do all their business, their courts and everything done at the gate of the city, and the kinsman redeemer closer to him comes by and says, Joe. I don't know why they didn't give him simple names like that back in the Old Testament. You know, that's what I would have done. Joe, come on over, sit down. Buddy, have a seat. And so Joe comes over and they start pulling, you know, Jim, come on over here, sit down. Oh, come on over. Bruce, come on down here, sit down here. And he pulls 10 of the elders over. And so we got a business transaction going on. Boaz is saying, you know Naomi. Naomi came back from Moab and you know, they're really poor and now she's got to sell a piece of land. So, why don't you buy the piece of land? You're the closer redeemer. I'd buy it, but you're closer than I am. And so you go ahead and buy the piece of land. And Joe, because we don't have his name, Joe said, sure, I'll buy it, no problem. See, all this time I'm reading this, I'm thinking about, what is Ruth thinking? Because Ruth is kind of, she kind of likes Boaz. And here's this guy, I don't know that she's even met this guy. Not that you have to meet your husband before the wedding night, because back in this day and age, you didn't necessarily do that. And she's going to be taken care of one way or the other. See, Ruth has been loyal to God. Ruth has been loyal to God by serving Naomi and been loyal to Naomi. God has been loyal to Ruth all through this already. Actually, you do know that God is loyal whether we are or not. Did you know that? God's loyalty is not based on our loyalty. The Bible says, though we are unfaithful, yet he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is good to us all the time anyway. Whether we're serving him, whether we're not serving him, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Today, sunshine falls on the just and the unjust. It's amazing what a couple of days of sunshine does to my attitude. It really is. Sunshine, see? He takes care of us. He blesses us. Not based on what we do, but when we're being faithful and loyal, that opens the door for God to even do more. And God's been taking care of Ruth. He's been taking care of Naomi. And now Boaz says, I kind of like to take care of Ruth and Naomi. I like to do that. However, Joe's in the way. What are we going to do with Joe? Because Joe's an honorable man too. He wants to buy back the field. He's going to help out too. Well, it's all how you ask the question. Have you ever noticed that? It's all how you ask the question. Remember that next time somebody wants you to take a survey. It's all how you ask the question. Joe says, yeah, I'll buy back the land, no problem. My responsibility, my privilege, I'll do that. And Boaz says, now you remember that we have this law in Israel that if somebody dies and doesn't have any offspring, that a brother, a close redeemer, a close relative has to take the widow and have children by her, and the firstborn male becomes the heir to the guy who's dead, so that his name will remain on the property, because their property was inherited from God through the generations. You remember that, right, Joe? And Joe says, I thought I was buying a field. Say, I can't do that because they don't give the reason. It will jeopardize my inheritance. So evidently Joe is either married and has daughters, Because if there's no sons and dad dies, there was provision made in the law for daughters to get the land. Otherwise, the firstborn son gets the land. And Joe says, I'm going to jeopardize my inheritance. I'm going to lose my inheritance, possibly. Ruth has a son. He's going to get his property of Mahlon's. He's going to get my property, being the firstborn son. And so, I can't do that. There's a chance I'd lose my inheritance. I can't do that. It's all how he asked the question. I am sure Boaz knew this before he asked the question. Say, yeah, because Boaz kind of likes Ruth. And Boaz wants to step up and be the responsible person here. Good man. Good man. And so after Joe says, nope, I can't do that, Boaz says, no problem. I'll take care of it. And you 10 guys have heard this, right? We got witnesses. We got witnesses, just in case a handshake or a sandal removal in their case. We do things on a handshake now. They did things, they take their sandal off and give it to the other person. So evidently they owned lots of sandals. And Boaz has witnesses, he set it all up, this is the way it is. But notice, it's not just for his own good. He's not just trying to get the land, he's not just trying to get a trophy wife, he's not just trying to get... See, here's how he's doing it. This Boaz was a decent guy. I have acquired wife, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers. Motive. Motive. Sometimes I don't know my own motives. Sometimes I don't really know why I'm really doing what I'm doing. I'd like to think I'm always doing it for the honorable reason, but, you know, yeah. God always knows our motives. Sometimes we got to stop and check our own motives. That's good. See, because we have this tendency to lie to ourselves. Well, I know you don't have this tendency to lie to yourself. I have this tendency to lie to myself. I like to think more highly of myself than I deserve sometimes. I like to think my motives are always great and wonderful. But sometimes not. Sometimes I'm just looking out for number one. God knows our heart. He can see what's inside there. And if you'll be honest with God, God will show you what's in there. Boaz, good motives. Not only do I want to do this for whatever reasons I'm going to get out of this, I'm going to get more land. See, I'm going to get a wife. I'm benefiting out of this deal. But I'm also doing it to raise up a descendant for Mahlon so that his name won't die out in Israel. That family, that clan will remain. And God blesses motives. God blesses motives. God looks at our heart. Because sometimes we're trying to do the right thing and it don't happen. But we're trying to. Sometimes we're trying to do the right thing and it just looks wrong. But we're trying to do the right thing. Sometimes it looks right, but our motives are wrong. But motives are important to God, not just the thing. It's not just getting Naomi and Ruth taken care of. That wasn't the whole purpose. You know, a lot of our physical things, you know, money, possessions, toys, these are big concerns to us. But do you realize if God wanted to, he could just take, everybody that's here today, by the time we're out of service at coffee hour, he could have all of our physical needs taken care of. Like that. He could. In a little bit, we're going to do some prayer requests here. Hopefully, here's some good things he's doing, some things he needs to do. Yeah, we're going to pray about it. See. He could take care of all of it instantly. Physical things are no problem to God. He's not bound by physical law. Now why don't he do that? Make me happy. Because God's concerned about eternal things first, physical things later. Eternal things first. Let's get some eternal things taken care of first. Because we're going to be on this planet a really short time. But we're going to be in eternity for a very, very long time. Forever and ever. As if forever is not long enough. Forever and ever. And so God's concerned first about spiritual things, eternal things. Secondly, physical things. Boaz has his heart right with God. Ruth has had her heart right with God through this. Naomi is getting her heart right with God through all of this. All that she's been through. And now God can step in and say, okay, watch this. We got our hearts right. We got people right. The people are back right with God. Now we can take care of the physical things. I can do that instantly, and he did it instantly here. I mean, Ruth woke up this very morning, still poor. And I don't know how quick the wedding was, but I'm presuming it wasn't too far off. And I'm presuming Boaz started taking care of things immediately. And so she went to bed rich. Woke up this morning without a husband. And a Moabite living in Israel, probably not a whole bunch of chance of getting a husband. At least one of the good ones. You know, you can get a bad one. They're a dime a dozen. You can get them anywhere. Get a good one. And she goes to bed engaged to, in our culture, engaged to a really good guy. When God gets around to changing the physical things, he can do that quickly, instantly. And you know, we'll focus a little more on the spiritual thing. I think God does some of the physical things a lot quicker. That's what I think. That's my theory. Just a theory. Because he's concerned about our heart condition. Ruth's commitment to God, serving Naomi, our commitment to God, serving one another, hopefully serving Mayflower Church. And then God can put some things in place, take care of, and then when he gets around to changing things, he can change things in a hurry. If we'll just remain faithful, God will be faithful to us. I mean, he's going to be as faithful to you as he can anyway. He's going to take care of you. He's going to try to feed you. He's going to try to bless you as much as you'll let him. But when we get reconnected, so to speak, committed, then God can really do some stuff. He can really do some stuff. And that's what we're going to look at next week, the blessings. The blessings of Ruth's faithfulness goes for generations to come, and actually, technically, all the way through eternity. Come to think of it, I was going to stop it at David. Why stop at David? My word. Say. So, another point for my sermon next week. God is good. Joys and concerns.
I would like to reiterate my thanks and appreciation for this joy of our gardens. They're coming back. They're beautiful. People really worked yesterday, and I want to thank you for it. If anyone has a chainsaw that they would be willing to loan us for a day, we'd greatly appreciate it. We do still have some things to do, but wow, everybody worked really great yesterday. Thank you.
Linda.
Yay. Yay.
Thank you. I cannot convey the depth of my appreciation for all you have done for me this past year in prayer. For those who are new, I have been bedridden and convalescing for a year from adrenal gland failure, which affects the thyroid, which means I have no energy. Today I was able to get up and come to church. I'm hoping to be able to do it again. I'm not yet halfway through my treatment program, but I will be well. During the long hours that I have been convalescing, because of your prayer, I have never been alone. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. See, prayer works. Prayer works. Yes, ma'am.
My brother-in-law's brother, Daryl, lives down in Tennessee, and his the place he was living in Nashville, Tennessee, is completely underwater. So just prayer for the rebuilding down there in general and for him to find a new place to live and everything.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I let my sister-in-law know that you all are having her in her prayers, and she want to thank you all so much. She's doing good. They have her out in Iona, a nursing facility out there. It's really nice. So she's coming along really good. And I just wanted to say that I have my other sister-in-law here from Chicago, so she came in to come and visit. So we're going to be going to see Deborah today. So thank you all.
Amen. Amen.
I have a guest with me today. She lives kitty corner in the apartment building. She plays cards and makes me mad. What'd you whisper to her?
It was a secret between me and her.
Nothing. Well, he probably knows your name then, too. Lindsay Williams, and she's just a lot of fun, and she's a signer at LCC.
Wow.
So if we ever need...
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Lindsay, great to have you here. God is so good. Okay. And you got friends down in Nashville also, you were saying last week. Any word how they're doing?
No.
No? Okay. We need to keep praying and praying. See, and we keep praying, you know. I mean, Linda, for all this year, I can't remember the last time you were here. It's been a while. But see, we pray, God does things. Whether we hear or not, God does things. But every now and then, God slips somebody in and let us know it's actually working. This is great. This is great. So, yes, Kathy. That'd be good. Read the list every week.
I do read the list, and I do pray for people. And I think most of you know that I have chronic pain and that... I'm having difficulty standing up straight, and it gives me comfort to know that Paul had an affliction that he prayed to God all the time, that and God said, no, you need this to, I don't know if it's to keep me humble or what, but I think when he doesn't give us instantaneous healing, that's his way of saying either not now or accept that where you are is where you are.
Sometimes, yes. Yes. Keep trusting, keep praying. So that's what I do. I don't try to figure out which is God's will and what's not God's will. I just pray, let God sort all that stuff out. That's what I do. And it's just amazing what he can do. Anything else? Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good to us. Yes, you are. More than we even know. More than we can imagine. Your concern for us and your care for us and what you do for us. But what little part we know, we are very, very thankful for. And thank you for these joys that we have heard. How you have been interceding and what you've been doing, and that our prayers are actually not in vain. It's not just a religious practice that we do, but you actually
reach out and touch and encourage and strengthen and heal and guide and do all sorts of things on behalf of your children. We thank you for that. We pray for these other prayer requests, the ones that we have in our hearts, the ones that have been voiced, the ones in our prayer box, the ones on my computer that haven't made it to the prayer box yet, that you know these people. And I pray that you will touch, heal, help, encourage, enlighten, whatever they need. Bring your perfect will to pass in each and every life and every family. May Jesus be glorified in them as you do this. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for wanting this intimate relationship with us. Thank you for teaching us how to communicate with you, what we call prayer. Thank you for teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn.
May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.
name.